Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on prayer was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Look at the next verse. In verse 9, he says, "And I say unto you," in other words, in contrast to the way that this man would operate, and he wouldn't even give his friend something because he was in bed and he was just a totally selfish person. "But here's what I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, even if it's at midnight. Seek and you shall find, and it shall be given unto you, even if I'm in bed and asleep. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." This isn't teaching us that God is this unconcerned, disconnected God who's busy running the universe and you got to badger him and pressure him and do something to get God's attention. It's teaching just the opposite, that God is closer to you than any friend. You know, I had a woman come up this morning and she was asking for prayer. And she says, "I pray for other people and I see them heal. I see every person I pray for heal. But when it comes to myself, I don't get healed." And I said, I can't say this is a direct word from God, but I said, I felt that same way. And I've seen a lot of people like that. And most of the time what that is, you know what? You have more compassion on other people than you have on yourself, because you know you, and you're tougher on yourself than you're tougher on anybody else. But here's this woman talking about how she can pray and see other people set free. But sometimes we're harder on ourselves, and it's harder to understand that God loves us. We see other people with all of their mistakes and we still love them. But we think God doesn't love us because he knows every rotten thing about us. That's wrong. Wrong mentality. And yet that's the way that most of us have been taught. The reason God hadn't answered your prayers is because you haven't fasted enough. You haven't prayed. You haven't said this long enough. You aren't holy enough. I've had people come up in my prayer lines by the thousands, and they'll say something like, "Why hasn't God healed me? I fast, I pray, I study the word, I pay my tithes, I go to church, I do this, 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 and this. Why hasn't God healed me? You just told me." Because you didn't point to what Jesus did for you and how much he loves you. You pointed to what you've done for him, and you were showing me that you think you have to earn the blessing of God, and you know that you aren't perfect yet, and so your own conscience condemns you and keeps you from really believing. And this kind of teaching where you have to go in and just plead with God and grab hold of God and shake him until he gives you what you want is a teaching against the goodness and the mercy of God. And it's putting you in the position where if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for the great intercessors, God would let the world go to hell. God doesn't love people. It's you that love them, and you're trying to get God to move. Amen or oh me. Again, everything I'm preaching against, I've done. I remember when I first got started, I was praying for Arlington, Texas. That's where I grew up. And man, I was knocking on 100 doors a day. We were praying, and I started all night prayer meetings. And I was praying one time with these people, and I was screaming and yelling and hitting the wall and pleading with God and calling on revival. And I had this come out of my mouth. I said, "God, if you love the people of Arlington, Texas, half as much as I love them, we'd have revival." And as soon as I said that, my lightning fast mind figured out, whoops, something's wrong with this theology. But you know what? That's the way that most intercessors are. God's not going to touch America. God's not going to move because he's put out with us. And so we got to beg him, and he won't respond to just one person. So let's get 100,000 people or 1,000,000 people, and let's have around the clock prayer and not give up until we make God send revival. God wants revival more than you want revival. As a matter of fact, if you even want revival, that's a product of revival. Nobody in their own self wants to see the power of God. If we are just left to ourselves, we would be carnal, bitter, angry, indulging self. We would forget the world. It is not human nature to care about other people and want good. If you are praying and asking for revival, you have been revived. God has already touched you, and it's the influence of the Holy Spirit that's making you do that. And for us to think that God is just disconnected and isn't concerned, and we've got to plead with him and put pressure on him, is totally, totally, totally wrong. It is against everything that he's teaching. God is not like this unjust man, like this unjust friend who just forgot his friend. He says, if you ask, you will receive. You seek, you will find. Everyone that asks receives. And then he uses another comparison down here in verse 10 or verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? The obvious answer is no. And see what he's doing again is to use an example. Would you treat your son, if he came up and asked for a piece of bread, would you hand him a stone that looked like a piece of bread so that he could bite into it and ruin his teeth, break his jaw? How many of you would treat your kid that way? We don't know people that are that bad. Why do we think that God would treat us that way? Why do we think that God is an adversary? It's because religion has taught us this. Religion has taught us this. And you know, some of it is through mistakes. I'm going to be teaching on this in more detail. But the Old Testament, God was an adversary to man, and there was punishment, and you did have to plead with God. But under the New Covenant, it's totally different. God has now reconciled man unto himself. And if you pray in the New Testament the way people prayed in the Old Testament, you're wrong. We sing these songs. That is from Psalms chapter 51, where David repented of his sin with Bathsheba, and he says, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. We sing a song about that. Many of you have probably sung that. Many of you have prayed that prayer. That is absolutely wrong for you to pray that way. Somebody says, but that's scripture. It's in the Bible. It's prior to Jesus. Prior to Jesus, man wasn't united with God. They didn't have a promise that God would never leave them nor forsake them. The Holy Spirit did come and go, but in the new covenant, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lo, he's with us always. And if you pray the same way that David prayed, pleading for forgiveness when the New Testament says God is already forgiven, if you plead for the Holy Spirit not to depart from you when the Bible promises that God will never leave you, if you do in the New Testament what they did in the Old Testament where they said, oh God, come and be with us. If you start your prayers, if you start your church service by saying, God, we ask you to come and be with us today, you aren't praying right. God said he's always with you. He'll never leave you. And yet we start our prayer, our meetings by, oh God, we ask you to come and be with us. And then when you dismiss, God, go with us as we leave this place. God promised he'd never leave you nor forsake you. How's God going to answer a stupid prayer like that? Is he going to leave and then come back so that he can answer your prayers? Is he going to break his word? Those are stupid prayers. We say things like, your prayer didn't get above the ceiling. The demons are blocking the heavens and our prayers can't get through. So what we got to do is intercede and clear the heavens over Chicago. In the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 10, that happened. The prince of Persia withstood Daniel's prayer for 21 days and the heavens were closed. This is what Jill was talking about and making sure she said it right so that I wouldn't jump on her case. But there's people that teach we have a closed heaven. Our prayers can't get through to God. I bet you many of you in here have prayed that or at least have heard it and didn't reject it. It's wrong. You know what's wrong with that? God moved from heaven. They'll pray Isaiah chapter 64, rend the heavens and come down. That was in the scriptures. But God rent the heavens and came down through Jesus. And it's wrong for you to pray, rend the heavens. That's in a sense just slapping Jesus in the face and say, Jesus wasn't enough. Now send something else. Do something else. No, Jesus moved to earth. And when you get born again, he lives on the inside of you. And you don't need your prayer to get through the heavens up to God. You don't need your prayers to get above the roof. You don't need your prayers to get above your nose. That's the reason you bow your head when you pray, so that you can look at God. Say, God. God's right here. This whole concept of, oh God, go with us. Oh God, help us get the open heaven so that you can answer our prayers is all wrong. And if you pray that way, somebody says, well, you're just straining at gnats. You know, you're grabbing at straws. This isn't important. God knows what we're saying. Words are important. And they express attitudes and it reveals what's in your heart. And if you see God as this adversarial person that if you ask for bread, he's going to give you a piece of stone. And you have to just badger him, and you have to stay after God and make God do what's right. And if it wasn't for all of us great prayer warriors, God would never do anything. You know what? That's one of the reasons that you aren't seeing prayers answered, is because you go in with a bad attitude towards God, and he just doesn't move that way. That's not how it works. It says, if any ask bread of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Hopefully not. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If your child asks for a piece of fish, would you give him a serpent that's going to bite him and hurt him? Hopefully not. Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? See, our relationships, our human relationships are better than this. Why do we think that our heavenly Father is less compassionate than fallen men? In a sense, we have made God human, to where God gets ticked off. The average person believes that the reason we aren't having revival is because we kicked God out of our schools. We don't allow prayer. We did this and we did that, and God is now upset, and God has his arms folded in heaven and his back turned and saying, you're just stewing in your own juice. You chose this. Reap what you've sown. And God's an adversary. And so what we've got to do is repent and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, and he'll hear from heaven and forgive our sins. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Again, that's an Old Testament scripture before Jesus reconciled us to God. And that is not the way for the New Testament believer to relate to God. God is not up there with his arms folded saying, no, until you grovel in the dirt a little bit more, until you pray a little bit harder, until you get another 100,000 people praying and repenting, I'm not going to move. That's not the way it is. God's like this. He's got his arms open. He's trying to pour out his spirit. God is here this morning trying to reach you and tell you that you don't need to beg and plead. God has already given you everything in Christ. You have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And instead of getting in your prayer closet and asking God to pour out his spirit, believe that he poured it out on the inside of you and go back to work and raise somebody from the dead.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled, A Better Way to Pray, for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to thank those of you who become partners with us, you know, giving more than just what it costs to get your materials, but you are helping us to reach out and touch other people. Thank you, because I believe that this is going to transform people's lives. And if you haven't yet become a partner, I'd like to encourage you to do so. You know, the television industry says that only about 1% of the people who watch a program and are receiving from it ever contact the ministry. That means that there's probably 99% of you who've been blessed that have never responded. I'd like to ask you to pray about it and then join with me and become a regular partner.